Well, moss can be a beautiful design element in a garden. And on this part of Garden Talk, we're going to learn how you can use it in your landscape. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network today. Our guest is Dale Sievert. He's an award-winning Wisconsin gardener, and he's known for his expertise in Japanese gardens and shade gardens and what we're going to talk about today, moss gardens. What would you like to know about moss gardens? Join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or if you want, you can send us an email, and that address is ideas@wpr.org. Dale, thank you so much for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having me. I certainly appreciate trying to spread the word about mosses.
Absolutely. It's you know, people are always calling us and saying, how do I get rid of moss? And I keep saying, why would you want to? What is a moss garden for those who are not really familiar?
Well, you could either have a moss garden that is strictly moss or strictly moss with rocks or other pieces of wood or other materials like that. Or it could be a combination of moss plus hostas or small shrubs, any number of plants. So it's a wide, wide variety of type of moss gardens that are out there. And some are very, very small. I have many container gardens, the small containers that have moss in it, and big spreads as well.
I've seen some pictures of your garden. Absolutely beautiful. How is moss similar, and how is it different from the regular plants that we're familiar with?
Well, the big difference is probably they're extremely small.
Right.
They are small because they do not have roots of their own. They're a very primitive plant, about 500,000 years old. And I guess they weren't smart enough at that time to come up with the idea of having a roots. and so they get all their moisture and all their nutrients from the air. And they also don't have lignans, which is a very complex carbohydrate, which makes for strong stems and trees and other plants. So they are forced to be small, otherwise they fall over.
Right.
That's one big difference. Because they don't have roots, they tend to dry out very, very quickly, so they tend to go dormant a lot if there is no rain. There's very few other things that are different about them as well, but those are the main things.
And I've always loved to just look at moss really, really close because there's a lot of stuff going on when you do take a closer look, isn't there?
Oh, yes. A lot of people who come through my gardens realize that. They think that this I have a moss garden, several with four to five different species there, and they think it was all the same plant until they get down on their knees and look at the tremendous difference in the structure of each of the species.
Now, what would we need to provide in order to keep a moss garden, you know, happy in our landscape?
Well, if you don't have mosses that originally were there in your garden, if you want to add them, that is, you want to match the conditions as much as possible where you found the mosses. That is, if you went to find them somewhere in some of the woods. You want to match the light conditions, the water conditions, and the airflow conditions as much as you possibly can. That's what you need to provide to be successful. And moss transplanting can be extremely difficult, extremely frustrating, because they are very finicky plants, and I've had many that died on me because they didn't like to be moved.
Oh, yes, I can imagine that. It can be disappointing. So what do you do then when you find the moss out in the wild? I mean, you just came in and said, hey, there's some moss down in your planter you should take a look at. Is that kind of how you do it? Or
I'm always on the lookout.
Okay.
I wasn't before. I got into this moss gardening in 2005. And so now I'm constantly on the look for moss along the road, in ditches, as I'm driving around, or I will go search out in the woods near my place. I live in Waukesha County, so I'm constantly going and asking people who have woods if I can go through their woods and try to find some more moss.
And there's a lot of different kinds out there if you really start looking.
Well, Wisconsin has pretty close to 400 species of moss, and there are that's just a small fraction of the 12 to 14,000 worldwide moss that there are. I was just in Iceland in September, and that's the most extraordinary place I've seen for mosses.
Really?
You'll find areas 10 to 10 to 20 miles in length and in depth as well, where nothing else but moss is growing.
But that's amazing.
That's not like Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. No, that's just a little bit different. I grew up in Upper Michigan, and there's a lot of moss in the forests up there, too. But, yeah, it's just like, it's amazing how they can reproduce like that. When we bring them home and put them in our garden, should we put them, like, really close together? Should we separate what we have? I mean, what's the best practices with that?
No, if you're going to lift them from where they are, that is, take a spade or mm-hmm. a shovel and lift them out, then you don't want to crowd them any more than they were where you found them. And so just, again, match where you got them. Mm-hmm. If you go to the UP, you'll find some mosses there, mm-hmm. which do not have a great attachment to the ground. It's like a rug lying on the ground. It's very loose. Mm-hmm. You generally won't find that here in southern Wisconsin. Southern Wisconsin generally has alkaline soils, and you have a whole different variety of mosses growing here than you will in central to northern Wisconsin and the UP.
So it's really important for your success, I would assume, to get mosses that grow in your area?
That's the easiest. Mm-hmm. I found moss I brought in from other states, North Carolina particularly, that do well, but most that I brought in simply die after a year or two. They're not happy here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Is there any place to, like, buy mosses, or is that it's pretty much a collection thing?
There are two great places I would suggest you go to buy mosses. One is called Moss Acres. They're out of northeastern Pennsylvania. That's the largest source of moss in the country. The other place is called Mountain Moss Enterprises out of Brevard, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Annie Martin, a good friend of mine, is the owner of that. I've been down to visit her four times, and she has written a phenomenal book called The Magical World of Moss Gardening. In 2015, she wrote that book. Her name is Annie Martin, and she owns Mountain Moss Enterprises. Those are the two places I'd suggest trying to get mosses commercially.
Sure.
There's some other places which I wouldn't recommend because they buy mosses that people have gone and thefted from national parks. Not national parks, national forests. And that is not a sustainable practice. Mm-hmm. But then there are quite a few of those out there. But those are the two ones that I would recommend.
Okay, great. Well, that's good. That's a good place to start. Now, as far as the design goes, how do you start? Now, you were instrumental in creating the moss garden down in the Janesville Botanical or Rotary Gardens. Where do you start with something like that?
Well, for me, I just stand there and look what's not there and try to figure out what should be there. So that doesn't sound like a good way to plan a garden, but that's, I guess, how I do it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm mimicking what I've seen before. I've been to Japan three times. First was 1985 when I visited a lot of gardens there, but there I wasn't specifically impressed with the moss that I had seen back time. It took in the year 2005 when I went to a place called Foxfire Gardens, but 5 miles north of Marshfield, that I was absolutely floored by mosses. There was a small garden, 8 by 10, 12 feet maybe, and with mounded hills that he made, and it looked like artificial mountains with big rocks in there. And so I guess I mimic that more than anything else I've seen. Mm-hmm. I've also been in Japan in 2014, 2016 to 65 different gardens there. All of them have moss gardens, and so I found some impressive places there that I did not mind copying every now and then. So I guess that's
inspiration,
the answer.
Dale. It's inspiration. Yeah.
Inspiration is a euphemism for theft.
It can be. Do you have a question about moss gardens? Give us a call. Open lines 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email. That address is ideas@wpr.org. So some of the things that you can maybe bring in that I've seen a lot, of course, is work with rocks and also like logs, things like that. Is that some of the easier things to grow the moss on?
Log is the most difficult that I have found.
Oh, is it?
Very few logs or parts of logs, fallen trees, do well in my gardens. And I suspect the main reason is that where they fallen logs, it's generally going to be in the woods. Mm-hmm. Where the humidity is significantly higher, or at least somewhat higher, than in my own gardens. And mm-hmm. then over 2 or 3 years, or even less, they all of a sudden just wither away. They want that higher humidity. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part. Rocks are a bit easier. I have over 700 rocks covered with moss. some I found out in nature, some that I get from somewhere else, bring in, fizzle out after a year or two. They're not happy or they're barely surviving. Others do extremely well. Mm-hmm. There are several different species of moss that grow on rocks, and some work better than others. I also take and plant, so to speak, moss on rocks, usually it works, and it eventually takes over and covers the whole rock. But it'll take several years for that to happen.
You have to be pretty patient with moss, right?
Yes, you do. They're difficult plant to work with. They give a whole lot of headaches, but a tremendous amount of enjoyment compared to other plants. That is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Other people don't care for mosses too much. You hear a lot about them complaining, and they actually can go in garden centers, which is quite amazing to me, and they can find what's called a moss killer.
Yes,
and that's just it's sad. It reminds me of when I was in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia a few years ago, and there was a beauty salon there that I saw, and right in the main street in the capital, and it said, "Destroy hair and beauty salon."
Oh, goodness.
Destroy. It was in English.
And
that's what that moss killer does. It destroys beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got a question from Paul in Washington County. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, could you discuss some of the species where they're either you can find them in Wisconsin, and their rate of growth? In other words, if you had a 10-centimeter square, how long would it take it to become 20 centimeters? And how deep is the root system? And what type of fertilizers can you use to accelerate their propagation?
Okay. The primary species you're going to find in Washington County, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, the common species you're going to find there would be what's called Plagianium cuspidatum. Plagianium cuspidatum. It's not my favorite moss, but it's a pretty moss, particularly in the springtime. You're going to find that very readily. You're going to find another one is called Anomidon attenuatus. It's a cousin to my favorite moss, Anomidon rostratus, which is very rare, hard to find, but the prettiest moss that I know of. You can find also a lot of Hedwigia ciliata, which is a moss that commonly grows on rocks and tree stumps. So Thuidium catchalatum is another one that you'll find. The depth of the roots, you ask, mosses, again, don't have any roots. So they have what's called rhizoids, which are little attachments that go down into the ground just to hold it in place. I forgot the other question you had.
We wanted to know if he had like a 10 centimeters piece, how long would it take to get 20 centimeters? And is there a way to get it to grow faster?
Yeah, mosses will grow at different rates. Thuidium is a common one that grows very rapidly. Well, I shouldn't say rapidly because it probably only grows approximately an inch and a half to 2 inches per year, if that. Other ones grow at extremely slow rates, so it varies greatly with the species that you have. In terms of fertilization, I read a lot about mosses, and the jury is out. A wide variety of answers to that question, even from the experts. So I do not fertilize myself mosses. They're just happy the way they are.
That's a good attitude. Thank you, Paul. Let's go next to Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike. What's your question?
Good afternoon. My question is if you could name some mosses native Wisconsin mosses, that might do well growing indoors, if there are any. I'm kind of a plant nerd. I have like 150 potted plants in my house, and I'm so nerdy that I even saved all the moss off the roof off our cabin in Minocqua and tried to get it to stay alive and put it around the house. I use it for hobby stuff as well, but dry it out and use it for hobby stuff. But I was wondering if there's any mosses that are native Wisconsin mosses I could bring indoors for year-round growth.
I've never tried it myself. In fact, for some reason, I can't figure it out. I'm a great plant lover, but I've never grown indoor plants and I have no interest in doing so, and I don't know why. It makes no sense. But anyhow, so I can't answer what's going to work. I do know I have tried it, mosses indoors at the on Lake Monona. What's the terrace? The Frank Lloyd Wright building.
Yeah, it's Monona Terrace.
Yeah, we tried there in some containers there, and after a year, they just weren't happy. Mm-hmm. So that was a failure of trying to grow moss indoors there. So you might not have success there, but it's worth a shot, I suppose. And the species I had mentioned before, if you're in southern Wisconsin, what I would try would be, I guess, Anomodons, A-N-O-M-O-D-O-N, attenuatus. That is probably going to be the most likely one to succeed indoors if it's going to. I guess you spurred me on to try to do it myself indoors sometime to see if it works.
Well, Mike, I know that people that do bonsai plants, a lot of times they have moss on those, so maybe that would be a good place to talk to somebody about the types that work.
Yeah, in that case, it's called Ceratodon purpureus. That's one I see a lot in bonsai pots. Or Brian cespitisium is another one. It's commonly called green sidewalk moss. And I saw, matter of fact, walking over here on the way here, and the entrance to your building over here has that moss as well. And that might be one to try. Those last two, Ceratodon purpureus as well as is Brian cespitisium, actually require to be in a sunny condition. And so if you put them in a shade condition, eventually they'll fizzle out and die on you.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one to try, I would suggest.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the question, Mike. Let's go to Maggie in Racine County. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I have a west-facing hill, old oak grove, and that is my front yard. So do I have moss or do I have lichen?
You're likely to have both. Lichens, if the listeners don't know what it is, lichen is a combination of alga or algae and a fungus. And there's extremely wide variety of those, and many grow on trees, and they can be quite beautiful. Mosses you will have as well. And if it's on oak, you're probably going to have them at the base of your oak tree. And that could be any number of species, but more like it's going to be Anomodon or Grimia or, no, not Grimia, Anomodon or, can't think of a moment, other species. Satchel, you're going to have both.
Mm-hmm. What if Maggie wanted to take advantage of those mosses that are growing there and maybe make it more of a moss garden than what she has? How can she encourage the moss to grow?
Well, if it's an oak forest, it's quite bare ground around.
She said it was oak.
Yeah, but what's the ground conditions?
Maggie, you still there?
The ground conditions are, it's moist. I'm very, very careful with it because, like, you don't mow it, you don't walk on it.
Is it very heavy, very heavily shaded?
Very, yeah, yeah. I mean, even the deer, when they come and eat, if you watch animals, they'll eat what nutrients they need at certain times of the year and all that. They're very careful.
Yeah.
Like, they don't eat a bare patch. They don't rip it up. They're very careful where they eat and how they eat it, too.
Well, deer are not going to eat your moss. Mosses have a lot of phenolic compounds or phenols, which is very, very bitter tasted in part. So you're not going to have to worry about animals eating your mosses. You'll have to worry about chipmunks and squirrels, which will dig it up to get food. But you wouldn't have to worry about deer. So if you have those conditions, I would try several spots, four or five spots, and foot square, let us say, and get some mosses from your neighborhood or area and try that. Do not get mosses from up north, for example. They're not going to make it down here. I've tried that several times. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They have acidic soils up north, and specific mosses like acidic conditions. And southern Wisconsin tends to be alkaline, and they will have different mosses that grow there. So do not get mosses from far away to bring in, but give it a try.
Mm-hmm. And I know underneath trees, sometimes it can be kind of dry. Should we just give moss some water occasionally?
Difference of opinion on it. Annie Martin, the woman who I said wrote that book, she swears mm-hmm. you ought to be watering moss twice a day.
Oh.
I did that back 4 or 5 years ago one time, three times a day, and by the end of summer, the moss was all white. Because I use well water, and the minerals had dried out and stayed in the plant, and that was not good.
Mm-hmm.
So And if you have a big area like I do, it just takes too much to be watering. So yeah. I just leave it go.
Let nature take its course. Right. Okay. Well, we've got a question from Odiana in Milwaukee. Hi, what can we help you with?
Hi. So I'm getting married in July, and we love backpacking, especially in Olympics. And we love the mosses. So we were hoping to incorporate moss into our table decorations. I was wondering if you've ever tried the moss slurries on terracottas or, I know you mentioned that you grow them on stones, but what would be the best, have you ever done that? Have you had success? And then what are the other ways to incorporate moss on our table decor?
Okay, and we do have just about a minute left, Dale, so we have to make it kind of quick.
I tried a flurry for a bit, but I didn't have the patience to continue it. I've talked to other people, moss growers, and they said it's utter failure, so don't even bother trying. I guess I have a little small wooden containers that I have. I get small pieces of moss that I put in there with rocks or what have you, and mm-hmm. it looks fantastic on my table in the patio and so on. And
there you go.
That's what I would do.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, Odiana. And Dale, this has been very quick, but we really appreciate you being here, and maybe we can have you back for a little bit longer talk about mosses.
Okay, well, thank you.
You bet.
For having me.
We've been talking with Dale Sievert. He is an award-winning Wisconsin gardener known for his expertise in Japanese gardens, shade gardens, and what we're talking about here is just moss gardens. Join us again on Monday. We'll have tech expert Jesse LeGrue back with us. He's going to talk about guarding your privacy on the internet and how to back up your computer. That's Monday at 11 on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jill Nadeau. We appreciate you, and stay well.